Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and hey, I know we've got a great, big, fabulous weekend ahead of us, and wherever you are, I hope you're having a magnificent time. We're going to be talking about a subject matter that, well, I don't know, you may or may not relate to, but I have some friends that are really into this big time. It's 11:11, the time prompt phenomenon. Yes, that's the title of the book we're going to be discussing. Marie Jones is my guest today. This is all about certain signs, sequences, synchronicities regarding numbers that I think you're going to find especially intriguing. Marie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good to be back.
Yes, thank you for coming back. You did a book called Science. It's really Science. I'll just use it that way.
Right.
I so enjoyed that book. And then when I found out you had done this one on 11:11, and because of some friends of mine that are really into this big time, I mean, it just seems like the numbers 11:11 just pop up frequently in their lives. That doesn't happen with me, but it does with them. Now, I want my audience to know a little bit about you, as well as your co-author, Larry Flaxman. Now, you have done buku books, I think over 50. You have been involved with video work. You're a New Thought metaphysics minister. You have worked with your dad, who is a geophysicist, Dr. John M. Savino. You've really dedicated yourself to some unique arenas of science and technology and mind skills. You're quite a gal. and then Larry, he's big time in paranormal research and field investigation. He also is a technically oriented person, very scientific.
Oh, yes.
Loves to do investigations, especially regarding unique phenomena. He is a columnist for the Paranormal Awareness Society newsletter. How in the world did the two of you ever connect?
We connected over my book, Science, believe it or not. He emailed me, and this was about a year and a half ago, and said that he enjoyed the book, and I thanked him. And then he emailed and said he was the head of this organization called RPAST, which is the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies Team. And would I look at their website and just comment on their work? And we just kept emailing back and forth, and we realized as a couple of months went by that we had so much in common, the way that we looked at things, our perspectives, not just with the paranormal, but with a lot of other subjects that are considered anomalous or fringe or metaphysics, spirituality, whatever you want to call it. And at the time, I had written a book with my dad, but other than that, I really had never thought about partnering with anyone, and we just decided to see, you know, what would happen if we put our brains and our intellects together, and we just signed our third book deal.
Wow.
So, yeah, our next book will be on deja vu and mind anomalies, so that should be really fun. So it just has really taken off from there. But, you know, I really like to write about things that excite and interest me, and that's why it kind of sounds like I'm all over the map. But if something doesn't interest me, I don't want to spend 6 months to a year writing about it and, you know, going through all that work unless I'm really excited to research it myself.
Well, and I think in today's world, with technology and our capacity to communicate around the world with different people, it's really intriguing. Let's start right at the beginning of your book, because you go into 11:11.
Right.
Now, why is this such a hot item? I know 11 is a master number in numerology, and I'm not one of these people that's real big into the numbers thing, but why is this so significant?
Believe it or not, when Larry and I became partners, we had approached my publisher, New Page Books, with a different idea. It ended up being our second book, which will be out in August. Well, the publisher came back and said, why don't you write about this 11/11 phenomenon? And we were thinking, what? What phenomenon? And so we did a little bit of research, and we're absolutely shocked to find out that people all over the world have been seeing the time or the number sequence 11/11 over and over again in their lives. And the more research we did, we did find an origin to this. People see different time prompts. We don't want people who see 222 to think that they're freaks. They're not. But 11/11 is the most prominent, and the reason being, if anybody knows about the upcoming year 2012 and all of the different prophecies and predictions that are being discussed, 2012, it's going to occur. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen on December 21st, and it's a winter solstice. And we were able to track the origin of 11/11 as the beginning time of the winter solstice on that date in 2012. And that's where the significance of this time prompt came from. Now, why are so many people having it? Well, there's a few different theories, and one is that we're all being alerted and awakened to whatever is going to happen in 2012. It may have something to do with lifting our consciousness and making us become more aware. So a lot of people look at 11/11 as being a trigger.
Well, I love the one story you've got in your book, and it's about a gentleman from India who, on an internet forum, found out about him. He reported a series of surprising, and I'm quoting it directly from your book, extended encounters with the number 11 in
right.
one day. First, his medical expenses from a minor accident totaled, a minor accident, mind you, $11,111. So that's 11111.
Right.
The number of his hospital room was 1111. The date of the accident itself was November the 11th, which is 11/11. He went to a bookstore later that day and found a mention of an 11/11 phenomenon by accident. Another man on a public 11/11 message forum reported that today was such a great day. I saw 11/11 and moments after a VW bug with personal plates reading N Master Namaste 9 just made me grin from ear to ear. I mean, when it seems like sometimes with some people, when this starts going on,
it really does.
It's like it's a roll of the dice, and
right.
it just keeps coming up with that number 11,
exactly.
hot number 11.
Because if it happened to you once or twice, you would just ignore it. But when you and I have to say that we only were able to include a handful of the, I would say, hundreds and hundreds of reports that we had emailed or that we found on forums or that people told us about. It's just amazing how many people have had this happen, and enough to where they know it is not just chance or coincidence. Again, if it happens to you once or twice, you think, well, okay, that's whatever. But if it happens 8 or 9 times, or it happens every night, or it happens, you know, every week on the same night, then you start to see that there's a pattern there and something is trying to tell you something.
Now let's talk about chunking. This is a little bit of what we've already discussed. Well, define chunking, as you've got it stated in your book.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm actually going to have to look that up because that was sent to me by a gentleman who came up with this theory. And let me see if I can find it here.
It's on page
27. 27. Isn't it great when the host knows the page better than the author?
Yes, I do have a reputation for that.
Very
anyway,
good.
Anyway, while she's getting to that, because it's quite an interesting point of information, her book is 11/11, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, and we're going to be going into some other things as well, but I wanted her to address this chunking portion in her book.
Right. Well, you know, it's got a lot to do with short-term memory and the idea of the brain finding pattern and sort of holding on to chunks of numbers, like your phone number, your social security number. And of course they have to be numbers that are important to you, otherwise you would forget them. Like you could tell me your social security number once and I'm not going to remember it, but mine, because it's such a functional number for me, it becomes a pattern in the brain. So you know, obviously the question is, why are so many people chunking, quote unquote, the same numbers? There seems to be something going on underneath just the brain's need to create a pattern out of a series of numbers. And the more numbers, the harder it is, of course, for the brain to do that. With something like 1111, it becomes very easy to latch on to that pattern and begin to see it again and again. And that's something that we had people ask, you know, am I seeing this because I'm noticing it now, or was it always there, or, you know, am I seeing it now because something from the outside is all of a sudden making this happen more often?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Larry and I love the story of, you know, you go out and you buy a big red Hummer because you think you're going to be the only person driving on the freeway with a big red Hummer. And as soon as you get it off the lot, you realize that there are thousands of other people driving them. They were always there, but your brain never had a need to recognize or notice them until you decided to spend $40,000 to $50,000 and buy a big red Hummer.
And then you realize how many other good people have good taste. Just like
yes, there you go.
Now let's talk a little bit about the history of numbers. Now the Mayans, the Aztecs, you know, they had it. We honestly don't know, as far as I'm concerned. And please correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't think we honestly know to the finite positioning. Because there's been cultures that have come and gone that we don't even have a trace
absolutely.
Of.
Oh, absolutely.
But when do we have a written record, to the best of our knowledge, the written number, and how did it get started? I mean, go ahead.
The idea of using number for, you know, counting objects, I'm sure during even the cavemen and cavewomen days, we had a need to count. We had to count our children, you know, count the animals that we were hunting. And the number system that might have been created then was incredibly crude. It seems that the use of number for purposes of counting dates back 30 to 40,000 BC. Now, this is according to a particular scholar that we used a lot of his research, George Ephra, who wrote a wonderful but very thick book called The Universal History of Numbers. The book is so big you could knock somebody out with it. But he includes a lot of incredible information about what we know. The written numbering system, of course, occurred much later, about maybe the 3rd or 4th millennium B.C. But again, you're right. There were obviously systems of numbers and counting and quantity and quantity recognition from when we first walked the earth, because that need was there.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of something that looks like what we have today, it was probably 3rd, 4th millennium B.C.
Now, let's talk about a sign that almost everybody will recognize, and that is the sign of infinity.
Right.
Now, that history I found interesting. Where did they feel that this first became part of our written expression? And that's for those of you that may not know, which I know you're all brilliant people, like the number 8 on its side. Instead of standing upright, it's on its side.
Right.
So how did that evolve, to the best of your historical research?
Well, again, we only know when the symbol came into being. We don't know when the actual thought process began. But apparently in the Upanishads in the 3rd century B.C., there was a reference made to infinity. And this is the first time anybody had ever discussed something that it had no measurement, that had no quantity, that went beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, again, you know, that is the first written reference. Oral tradition, who knows? I mean, obviously, somebody had to have had that concept of something never ending. I mean, they could have just looked up into the sky and sort of imagined a concept of infinity.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, I just loved one sentence. And it shows, if people are interested enough in history to show how sometimes people do really stupid things, I know we can pay attention to today and we'll find a lot, but just realize this has been going on for a long time. Stupidity doesn't have a limitation to any generation. In 1229 AD, the Roman Catholic Church banned the use of zero stating it was a godless number because division by zero resulted in infinity.
Isn't that strange to pick on a single zero?
I'm telling you, it's really fun with history when you find out how certain people made decisions in different hierarchies, wherever they may have been and whatever culture they were in. And you go, what happened to the brain department? Most of the time it was non-functional, as far as I can tell. But then, of course, I guess I'm being a little arrogant living in the 21st century. It's always better with hindsight. Isn't that the truth?
Oh, of course, of course. But, you know, it's really interesting that even these older ancient civilizations, they were resourceful enough to develop a system that worked for them. You know, in the ancient Chinese system, they used rods and whatever worked for them, stones and engraving little notches on a rock. They had the need to keep track of numbers of something, sheep, whatever, and they came up with a system that worked for them. Interestingly enough, here we are in the 21st century, and what do? We use calculators and computers.
Right.
We've made it way too easy. They had it a lot harder.
Well, think of the Chinese with the abacus.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
I remember watching a contest between a computer and someone who was skilled with the abacus, and the people with the abacus were beating the computer.
Yeah.
And that was with complicated mathematical calculations, and that just flabbergasted me.
Yeah,
so,
really.
You know, as you say, cultures having a need to keep record. And why? Well, the wealthier a culture was, there was always something called taxes. We all know about that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And by golly, if you needed to have those extra beans counted or a few fish, you wanted to make sure.
Because you had too many beans.
That's right. So
again,
you had to make sure it was there.
Really, now, just the progress of civilization made the sophistication of number systems a necessity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And boy, in today's world, even more than ever, I think. Now, you had in here some information on a mathematician, Heinrich Hertz, and he was quoted as saying, "We cannot escape the feeling that these mathematical formulae have an independent existence and an intelligence of their own, that they are wiser than we are, wiser even than their discoveries, that we get more out of them that was originally put into them." This is someone talking about sacred geometry.
Right.
And that, I thought, whoa, this man was way, way ahead of his time.
Yes. And interestingly, I mean, he was a man of science, and we know him from, obviously, the measurement, the unit of measurement, the Hertz. But what's interesting is that as we were doing the research, we found numbers have two faces. They have a very paranormal, if you will, face, a very metaphysical, unusual face. But they also have a very functional face. And we as a society have gotten so used to looking at numbers today as just being purely functional, we forget how magical they are and how magical they were to civilizations that came before us, where with sacred geometry, the measurement and alignment of architecture and art was so precise that it was supposed to mirror the divine energies in the heavens. And it was a way of aligning earth energy with divine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that anymore. Now, we build a condominium building, and our goal is to just cram as many units as we can into, you know, one small area. But numbers have a whole magic nature to them. And I think scientists, believe it or not, recognize that as much as people who are involved in metaphysics and religion do.
Mm-hmm. You have a fascinating illustration in your book, 1111, about the Vitruvian Man by Leonardo da Vinci. And I had not seen this particular rendition before, and I thought, this is amazing. Talk to us about the ratios and what da Vinci did with it.
Da Vinci, believe it or not, and a lot of people will know this if they've seen the Da Vinci Code, but he was very much into art and architecture and science, and he understood the importance of what's called the golden ratio. It's also known as the divine ratio, the golden mean, and it's basically an irrational number, 1.618, and it continues on to infinity. It's a number that is found throughout nature, throughout art, architecture, sacred geometry. Our own bodies have this ratio. And when you start to notice it, it's just amazing because it suggests that there is some kind of mathematical intelligence behind everything, including the balance and symmetry of our own bodies, the way that seashells are formed, the petals on a flower, the way that a galaxy swirls. This ratio is found just throughout reality, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And so Da Vinci used this, he used this wonderful figure of the Vitruvian Man to show this ratio in the human form. And there's a whole series of descriptions that show the ratio where, for example, let's say a palm is the width of four fingers, a foot is the width of four palms, and it just goes on and on showing how each bodily part applies this ratio. And it's amazing that you also see this throughout nature and science and into the cosmos.
Let's talk about ley lines. And again, for those of you that have just tuned in, we're talking with Marie Jones. The book is 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. But this book is loaded with information about various signs, numbers, meaning, sequences, synchronicities, all of this. Let's talk about ley lines, because this is a subject matter that not everybody's familiar with. Why are ley lines important? And what are their values?
Well, people who believe that these lines exist, because, you know, there's a lot of controversy and not everybody is in full agreement, but basically these are lines that align sacred sites all over the globe. And it could be, you know, the pyramid, Avebury, Stonehenge, different sacred sites seem to have been built along specific lines. The lines themselves are also said to have magical properties. They perhaps resonate in unison with the Earth's resonance, which is the Schumann resonance. They amplify the divine energies. They do something different from the landscape around them, and that is why these particular temples and monuments were built along ley lines. So probably one of the most famous would be in England, where you've got Stonehenge and you've got Avebury and you've got other stone circles and henge monuments that are all sort of lined up very specifically, as if somebody said, okay, we're going to build A here and B here and C here, and there's a very distinct reason for doing that. Unfortunately, you know, you've got the people who say, well, these were nothing more than travel routes that were used by ancient people. And so, of course, they became important places to locate religious monuments or temples or churches, just as we do today. You know, we have downtown areas that we walk, and that's where everything is. But there are a lot of people who have really researched ley lines and feel like there is something. There's some electromagnetic anomalies. People have doused and found water, you know, underground water
mm-hmm.
sources.
Mm-hmm.
So there does seem to be specific spots, hot spots, if you will, all over the earth, and they're connected by these magical lines.
Now, you have a fascinating story in here about Caprikar's formula. And this was developed by Dr. Caprikar from Devlali, India, in 1949.
Oh, my gosh, let me find this again, because this is kind of hard to explain. Okay, what we did is we included a lot of number anomalies and things that we found. This is an operation, and let me see if I can explain this. If you take a four-digit number where mm-hmm. the digits are not all the same, so it can't be 1111, you rearrange the digits to get the largest and smallest numbers that they can make. You subtract the smallest number from the largest and get a new number. And if you carry this on, you do this through several sequences or series, you will get a very distinct pattern whereby you get the number 6,174. This is what is called a kernel number. Why is it a kernel number? We don't know.
mm-hmm.
But this formula, for some strange reason, this is what you come up with each and every time. And you can start with a different starting series of digits, and you'll still come up with 6,174 when you go through this operation. So if anybody buys the book, the operation is there if you want to try it yourself. But it's just really one of these many fascinating things that Larry and I found where numbers seem to have an intelligence. It's almost as if they're taunting us and saying, you know, there's more to us than meets the eye. And one of my favorite chapters is the chapter that talks about just six numbers and how the universe itself is believed to be made up of six fundamental mathematical numbers. And this is, you know, this is not coming from spiritual people. This is coming from scientists, cosmologists, and astronomers and astrophysicists. And it just, again, speaks to the fundamental, profound nature of numbers and how they literally may be the language of the universe.
Well, that's been stated many, many times.
Yes.
And since we're talking about numbers, let's go with the one that I think is the most misunderstood, and that's the number 13. There is so much fun stuff about the number 13.
I know, and you know what? It's so... It's got such a bad rap.
It has.
The number 13, you know, this is a number that to some cultures is a very holy number. It's all over our money, our monetary, our dollar bill has 13s all over it. It was a very significant number in the Kabbalah, in Masonry. Yet what happened was you had one event in history where, I'm trying to get the year that it occurred, but the Templars were slaughtered in, when did this occur? Oh, my gosh.
A long time ago.
A long time ago, yes. The Catholic Church went after the Templars, and there was a slaughter that took place on Friday the 13th. And this, it turned into what is called triskaidekaphobia, an irrational fear of the number 13.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, this is because of one event in history, but... Again, there are people that believe that this is a holy number. There were 12 disciples of Christ and then Christ himself, and that makes 13. There were 12 knights in King Arthur's round table, and you add him, and that makes 13. So it's all open to interpretation.
It is,
and we've built such a superstition about it, and poor 13.
Poor 13. Well, I'll tell you what, this book is so interesting. And if ever you find yourself around people who are super intellectual, wouldn't it be fun to whip out some of these facts and just absolutely tantalize their brains? Why not whip out a word, and let me, correct me, Marie, if I'm not pronouncing it correctly, dyscalculia. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yeah.
D-Y-S-C-A-L-C-U-L-I-A. This is a number disease?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, you know, I mean, we've got to have a disease for, it's a learning disability, and I was really surprised because it's similar to dyslexia in a way, but it's just the inability to process numbers the way that normal people do, and, you know, there's different signs of dyscalculia, and I think it might explain a lot of reasons why so many people have trouble in math class, but basically people just have difficulty with conceptualizing numbers, which numbers larger or smaller, conceptualizing time, reading numbers from left to right, having a difficulty navigating using numbers. So yes, there does seem to be a part of the brain that may not in some people work as well as others when it comes to calculation and arithmetic and mathematical reasoning, but you know, we now have calculators and computers to do everything for us, so I guess this is a disease that we don't really need to worry about too much.
Well, Marie, this is a book that is filled with so many delightful points of information, and I mean that sincerely. I think that it just brings out so many different aspects of history, practical applications with mathematics, and I would suspect that a teacher in school would have a great time with this with her students, maybe even in college. But if you're interested in the numbers, you want to know about signs, various things that have been researched, then get 1111, the time prompt phenomena. Now, quickly, we've only got a few seconds, Marie. What's your website so people can go to your website? and check out more information on the book.
It is quite simple. It is www.mariedjones.com.
MarieDJones.com. Well, when your next book comes out, you're going to have to get it to me, Marie.
Absolutely. You know I will.
Okay. This is Donna Sebo. Marie Jones has been my guest today. 1111, the time prompt phenomenon, the meaning behind mysterious signs, sequences, and synchronicities. Fascinating reading. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at this toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756, and I will just need from you your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me tell you what I have to perceive about you, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you might be interested in. So again, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, and that is toll-free worldwide. Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful beginning of a holiday weekend. In fact, this is a show that's being done on the road, and the weather here in the Pacific Northwest is utterly spectacular. We're hardly knowing what to do with it because we've got a second day of sunshine and no rain in sight, maybe until next week. But in the interim, I want to let you know that I'm going to be next week on Tuesday on Spiritual Hollywood with Katie, and that's going to be from 6 to 7 in the evening. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. And Spiritual Hollywood is right here on bbsradio.com. So it'll be on Station 1 as usual. And again, Tuesday evening, 6 to 7, I'll be on with Katie on Spiritual Hollywood. So I hope you can join us. It'll be a lot of fun. I had some different items that I wanted to share with you today. And again, if you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. I've come across some marvelous stories about people who are really making a difference, and I'll be going into that later on. But I thought I would present some information to you that is coming out. it brings back memories of stories that I read about Luther Burbank so many years ago, who made such inroads in science in researching how to grow a better potato. Well, apparently, they feel that the potato may hold the answer to worldwide hunger. And nutritionally, a potato is extremely valuable because it has carbohydrates, protein, vitamin C, and potassium. And they know they can grow it in a various types of climates and soils. And they're concerned because the United Nations is keeping a record, and I know we've got a caller, and I'll be going to that caller in just a moment, is saying that our population, we need to really be aware of food, that the population of the world is going to be increasing by 100 million souls each year through the year 2030. That's a pretty big number to wrap your mind around. 100 million new souls on this planet to feed. That is incredible. Will the potato do it? Maybe in part. But I think we're going to have to be quite resourceful, and there's some people doing exactly that. Let's go to our first caller today. Hello, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Ellen from Azusa, California.
I'm sorry, dear, I couldn't hear you. Where in California?
Azusa, California.
Azusa. And your first name or initial?
Ellen.
Okay, Ellen, the first thing I'm looking at with you is a lot of this feeling of push, push, push. I can't afford to stay quiet for very long. I've got to push, push, push. In a way, it reminds me of a woman in labor where she's wanting to get past this. You know, it's like, please, I want to birth this baby. I have carried it for 9 months. I don't need it anymore. I want to bring it out. Well, that's not an uncommon feeling, and you're birthing something in your life that is just really challenging you, and it's like, I'm tired of carrying this challenge. I don't want to carry it anymore. I want to give birth to it so I can get my life going in the new way that I want. That is going to happen, but to me, the month that things really seem to come together is the month of September. And as I'm looking at September, I'm quite impressed with what I'm observing here because it seems to me you're taking like a gigantic mallet and you are swinging it to the right and to the left. You're saying, enough is enough. I do not choose to be stuck in old stuff anymore. That's it. So whatever will be going on in your life at that time, I mean, this is a no-nonsense attitude. You're quite a gal. When you decide something needs to be done, as soon as the way opens up for you, you don't waste any time. Good for you. What question do you have for me today?
I'm going to be moving, and I'm just, do you see anything about a moving situation for me?
Well, what is it you're concerned about with the moving? Because I think you've pretty much got the basics down. What are you anxious about?
Oh, well, I live in an apartment that is in escrow, and I was told it's going to be closing in a couple, like 2 weeks.
All right. So what is your question to me? Are you wanting to know if you're going to have a place in 2 weeks that you can move to?
Right.
Well, I say yes. It won't take you long to find a place. Now, it may not be exactly what you want, but you can find a place in less than 2 weeks, and I'd go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Just get going with it. Just go ahead and start packing the boxes and start looking, and yes, you'll find a place.
Okay, great. Well, that all resonated with me, Donna.
You have a wonderful weekend, dear.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
This is Donna Sebo, and hey, if you want to call in and chat with me, this is the telephone number to call, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Here are some guests that we're going to be having on next week. We've got a phenomenal lineup of people. We are going to be talking with Melanie Koronetz, and she is going to be talking to us about Westminster and one of her dogs, Mercury. Now, this is a woman that's ended up becoming a part of this phenomenal event that millions of us watch every year because we love to see these beautiful, beautiful animals, and the experience of being there, I guess, is really awesome. So we're going to be chatting with her on Monday, and then if you like mysteries, and I don't review novels very often, but Gnostic Mystery by Randy Davia is really a fascinating book, and it is filled with so much fact that the fiction just sort of wraps it like a candy wrapper, and it's wonderful reading, so I know you'll enjoy it. Also, on Wednesday, we're going to be talking to Hope Warshaw about the Real Life Guide to Diabetes. There are so many people that I know that have been affected by this illness, and it really, really is something you need to pay attention to. So Hope has put together some wonderful material that you may find you want to pass along to someone else, and it's just a good batch of information. And then if you're in business, and you have different generations of people, different ages of people, obviously, that's what I'm trying to express here, then you're not going to want to miss how we're in this boat together. Camille Bishop has put together this outstanding publication on how people that, whether you're 22 or 62, you can work together as a team and you can have something that's outstanding. And then next Friday, a week from today, we're going to be talking with Dr. David Dolman, and the title of his book is really fun. It's Why Don't Doctors Know This? This is written by a doctor. So we're going to become educated as consumers as to what we can do for ourselves. So this is really terrific. We're going to have a good time with it, a great lineup of guests. And remember, all the shows that you hear are archived on bbsradio.com, so you don't have to miss anything. If there's something that you see on our program listing and you go, oh, gee, I missed it, then just go into the archives and you can listen to it at your leisure. Donna Sebo here on the road. I'm now in Oregon, and this broadcast is coming to you live. If you'd like to chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. And again, don't forget, I'm going to be on Katie's program right here on BBS Radio Station 1 on Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Her program is called Spiritual Hollywood. One person can make a phenomenal difference. It's amazing. There is a very, very special lady. Her name is Anita Cruz, and she is a musician. She goes into the Texas Children's Cancer Center in Houston, which is a phenomenal facility, by the way. I had the privilege of being around that facility, and it is just amazing. And she was around a little girl, and she said she was only 8 years old, but she was in so much pain. And when she looked into this child's eyes were very, very tired. She was really battling hard for her very life. Then Anita asked this child, do you want me to write you a song? Now, Anita goes into the hospital, and she has a cart that's equipped with an electronic keyboard, a microphone, and some portable speakers. This little girl looked at her and was just amazed that someone would even ask a question like this. The child said, yes, please. And within minutes, Anita was reading a poem into the microphone for this little girl, and she was saying very softly, some birds soaring through the sky, imagination in its head. And she started improvising music to go along with the words, and she was able to even create warbling bird sounds in the process, and then she started adding it. And 30 minutes later, she gave this child a CD of this recorded song. And that was the very first time Anita had done anything like this, and that was the very beginning a very special project. Now, I know we've got to go to a break. I'm going to tell you about this project when we come back, and don't ever underestimate what one person can do to make a difference in the lives of not just one, but many. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo calling live, and I'm in Oregon on the road traveling. Like you, I am going to be experiencing some time with family and friends this weekend, and wherever you are, I hope you are going to have a fabulous time. Just remember, when you're on the freeways, take it easy. Don't be in a rush, because I don't know about where you are, but here in the Pacific Northwest, traffic is almost bumper to bumper because thousands of people are doing exactly what me and my family are doing. They're heading out of town to enjoy a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. So be careful. Don't be in a hurry. Give yourself a lot of time. And above all, enjoy the magnificent weather wherever you are. Donna Sebo here, and I was telling you a story about a woman who had done something very, very special for children. Being in the hospital and talking with a child and making sure that this is something that she's going to be able to feel better about with music. And when I was reviewing this material for the show today, I thought, this is incredible how someone will take a piece of equipment, go into a hospital, be able to improvise, and be able to talk to the child, put something together for that child, hand it to that child, and the amazing thing is that she was able to go on to a business after that. And that is what I call the rest of a story, and she is an intriguing woman. But before I go to her story, back to her story again, I want to encourage those of you who have a particular story of your own about a very special situation or condition where one individual has made a difference. I'd love for you to send it to me, and send it to me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, because I really believe in sharing these stories. I think it's important for us to realize how significant one individual is, and again, how they can affect so many people's lives. Purple Songs Can Fly is the name of a project that has been started by this wonderful woman, Anita Cruz. It has gone to more than 125 patients where she's helped to write and record songs for them, and they have found that the impact on children is amazing. You can go to her website, purplesongscanfly.org, and this is one of the stories that evolved out of doing a piece of music for a child. There was a teenage girl when Anita met her, who was curled in pain in her wheelchair, that stood up unaided to dance to a hip-hop song Anita had written for her. There was a 12-year-old boy with Hodgkin's disease who rarely spoke, who absolutely stunned his physicians and his family with a gospel song he called, I Can Make It. She said, my sessions with kids are heartbreaking because of the severity of their diseases, but these children are also exhilarating because when they smile, after I've done this music for them and they share it with their family, something magical seems to occur. Now, the little girl that originally I was talking about, her name was Simran. She's now in the sixth grade. She's cancer-free. And she will play the song that Anita Cruz wrote for her a few years before. And the song is titled Always Remembering. And she said, we always remember the sweet and nice, wonderful, loving lady who gave me this very, very special gift. And I think that's important. But, you know, it's not just with music. People are able to do things that relate to the environment. One is a gentleman by the name of Andy Lipkus, and he plants trees. This is a man who is in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is called a concrete jungle. I mean, it's a phenomenal place, but there is a lot of concrete, and hundreds of thousands of trees, of orchards, were cut down for the evolution of this phenomenal, phenomenal city. But he said, you know what? I can do something about it, and this is amazing what he is able to do. And he's got a group called Tree People. So you can look it up on the web. It's a nonprofit organization. He founded it in 1973. He has hundreds of thousands of volunteers who plant more than 2 million trees in Southern California. Now, that is a huge number. Stop and think about it. One man's concept to be able to make a difference in life, 2 million trees. Now, if you go to Tree People, they will support anyone that's interested in helping develop something like this for their community. They'll provide tools, blueprints, planting demonstrations, and even tree care supervisors. Can you believe that? It's amazing. So here we are, where we have people around the world that are cutting down trees big time. And here we have one man, along with thousands of volunteers, who say, we want to reverse it. And why is that so important? Trees help us keep our planet healthy. They take in, they thrive on CO2. They just love it. The more they've got, the bigger and the greener and the healthier that they are. They really thrive in it. So this is something, here we have had two people that are profound individuals making a difference. I wonder what ideas you could come up with. Let me know. Send me an email. Tell me about that special person that has made a difference perhaps in your life. I'd love to share their story on the air. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we're just about out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We've got a dynamic week next week, starting on Monday. So hope to see you right back here, same time, same place. Again, remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, take your time, be safe, use sunscreen, because it's sort of going to be hot, I think, at least here in the Pacific Northwest. So take care. Have a wonderful time with your family. We'll be in the same time, same place, right back here on Monday, Memorial Day, talking with you and sharing all kinds of good things. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.